Thank you. Members of the gallery, councillors and council staff, please remain upstanding for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. The opening prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The reconciliation statement reads, Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. You may be seated. Councillors, I draw your attention to item number 2 on the agenda, apologies and leave of absence.
No, Madam Mayor.
Item number 3, changes to the order of business.
No changes this evening.
Item number 4, deputations.
You do not have any deputation scheduled, Madam Mayor.
Item number 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Mayor, I will rise to say that I've got a conflict of interest for 18.5 due to my close proximity to one of the roads.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Any other councillors? Moving on to agenda item 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. And we have a recommendation here, councillors. Thank you, Councillor Ramsay.
I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 10th of November 2015 and the special meeting of Council held on the 8th of December 2015 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor who would like to second the recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I have a notice of motion here. Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 7, correspondence inward. We are 7.1, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. I have two here tabled for tonight. The Honourable Jacinta Allen, MP, Member for Bendigo East and Minister for Public Transport Facilities. The letter is about the facilities at Diggers Rest Railway Station, and I do believe that the members of the gallery do have a copy, but I'll just read the highlights. So it is about the facilities at Diggers Rest Station. The Honourable Jacinta Allen acknowledges the frustration that facilities at Diggers Rest Station remains closed. The decision to staff a station is based on passenger levels. Until passenger levels increase, there are no plans to staff Diggers Rest Station and to reopen the waiting room and toilets. Public Transport Victoria PTV does not make toilets at unstaffed stations available to the public because of the security problems, including vandalism, graffiti and antisocial or illegal activities. PTV will continue to monitor passenger levels with a view to staffing the station and reopening facilities when practical. The other letter that we have tabled for tonight is by the Honourable Wade Noonan, MP, Minister for Police, and it's in regarding to police resources at Melton Police Station, and it's in regards to the correspondence dated 12th of October 2015 on behalf of our constituent, Miss Christine Armstrong, and he talks about in May 2010, the Labor government committed funding for an additional 1,966 police to the front line, which has included an increase of 147 police in the Northwest Metro Region Division 3, which covers the Melton and Caroline Springs area. The letter reads, further down the letter it says, the government is investing $148.6 million over 4 years to free up 400 police to undertake frontline duties protecting our community where they are needed. This will occur by recruiting, training and deploying 400 custody officers to initially supervise prisoners at around 22 police stations across Victoria. And he ends by saying the government will continue to consult with Victoria Police about overall police resourcing across the state. And he assures us that the Chief Commissioner that the level of policing is continuously monitored by the respective command officers with a view to ensuring community safety. So, councillors, I have a recommendation here that I need a councillor to move and second.
I rise, Madam Mayor, to move the following recommendation that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second that notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item number 8, petitions and joint letters.
There are no petitions this evening, Madam Mayor.
Number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
There's no holdover business.
Thank you. And number 10, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 9 questions from the public this evening. First question is from Mr. John Southall. Mr. Southall's in the gallery. Question reads, I would like to know, could we have a free collection of cardboard around Christmas time, as there is a lot of cardboard at that time of the year? So Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, John, for your question. In short, the answer at the moment is no, Council doesn't intend to have additional cardboard collections. In the event that the Council does decide to do that in the future, clearly it's too late for this calendar year. I should also point out that there is a fortnightly yellow bin collection for most properties, which enables recycling of cardboard and other recyclables. In addition, every property has access to either a hard waste voucher, one per year, or alternatively the opportunity to visit the Melton recycling facility on 2 times a year or 2 occasions a year, which hopefully provides adequate opportunity for all residents to appropriately dispose of recyclables and the like. Thank you.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Andreas Antonio, who's in the gallery. Question reads, the MPA, through the state government, is proposing a $1 billion infrastructure development in the Melton UGB area. What is the council proposing to direct this money towards, the Atherston development or where the money is needed most? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Antonio, for your question. I understand you might be referring to the recent press release from the state government regarding a background paper on managing growth within Melbourne, which came out over the last couple of weeks. There's actually 2 elements, I think, to your question. Part of the announcement made by the state government was actually a budgetary announcement in terms of their commitments both this financial year and beyond. For the 2015-16 financial year, the document speaks about $1 billion being allocated for delivery of critical infrastructure, including transport, health and education, in the outer urban and growth areas, so not specific to Melton, but all outer growth areas of the metropolitan Melbourne. Specifically, the document speaks about an allocation of $500 million being allocated towards roads. That include roads such as Thompson's Road, which is in the southeastern suburbs, and an upgrade of the Ring Road. It also speaks of an allocation of $400 to $600 million for the upgrade of the Mernda rail line, which is in the Whittlesea area. It also details school sites to be acquired over the forthcoming period, which includes one in Taylor's Hill. And finally, it also speaks about what's known as the Interface Growth Fund. The government's allocated $50 million this financial year to the IGF, as it's known. And you'll be aware that Council successfully received just over $6 million from that fund in recent months towards projects within the municipality. The other part of your question refers to a pilot project that the council, the state government is undertaking with council, particularly through the Metropolitan Planning Authority. And it's intended to establish what's known as the Melton Local Infrastructure Delivery Plan, which is intended to better coordinate a timely planning, funding and delivery of future infrastructure. So in other words, seeking to ensure that the state government is able to commit in a medium to short to medium long term plan in terms of where it will invest money within this municipality, coinciding with those locations where council is investing money on critical infrastructure. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity for council to be part of the pilot project in consultation or in partnership with the Metropolitan Planning Authority to deliver good community outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question is also from Mr. Antonio, and it reads, how does council ensure spending of developer contribution plan money within the PSP where that money was raised? Again, Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Antonio, for your question. Each development area within the municipality, within a greenfields area, as you know, has or either has or will have an approved precinct structure plan. Accompanying that is what's known as a development contribution plan, currently known as a development contribution plan. The development contribution plan explicitly indicates for each parcel of land what financial contribution must be provided to local infrastructure, and that's done in a transparent and consistent way across the development area. When an individual landholder seeks a planning permit to develop a specific area of land within the precinct structure plan, council would negotiate what's known as a Section 173 agreement under the Planning and Environment Act, and that provides the particulars about how the money will be expended that is contributed through the development contribution plan for that area. That can happen in one of two ways. The developer may build the infrastructure within their development in accordance with the development contribution plan in an agreed way with council, and that typically is significant roads and intersections. There's also generally a monetary contribution to council in accordance with the development contribution plan that the council then commits to expending on those pieces of infrastructure detailed within the development contribution plan. So there is an open and transparent process. It's documented and it's consistent with the approved development contribution plan. Thank you.
Next question is from Andrula Tuvana, who's in the gallery. Question reads, why does council choose to send external expert town planners to represent them at VCAT when they already employ their own town planning experts in-house? Is this an appropriate way to spend ratepayer money, considering council's in-house planners are suitably qualified and already on the council payroll? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Ms. Tuvana, for your question. You'll be aware that throughout any given year, council is required to attend at the Victorian Civil and Appeals Tribunal in relation to town planning matters. In many of those instances, we will have a council town planner attend and represent the council's position, and we obviously have a number of qualified and experienced planners on staff. Each VCAT hearing is different, and we make a judgment at a management level in terms of who would represent the council in a particular case based on resources available at the time and on the complexity of the issue. Thank you.
Next question is also from Ms. Tuvana, which reads, considering Melton is one of the most rapidly growing areas in Victoria, what specific training have councillors had to enable them to make the correct planning decisions required of them, or do councillors simply go on the recommendations made to them by council officers that are paid enough money to tell them the right thing? Again, Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Varner, for your second question. You'll be aware, I imagine, that once a councillor is elected, there is a significant induction program run by council to ensure that councillors understand their obligations and requirements as councillors. This includes significant discussions and briefings on their responsibility as the planning authority and the provisions of the planning scheme and how that's implemented. Those discussions obviously occur on an ongoing basis. There's also significant training opportunities provided on an ongoing basis through the Municipal Association of Victoria and the Victorian Local Government Association that councillors avail themselves to as required. As particular planning issues arise, as they do from time to time, council staff brief councillors comprehensively on the issues involved. Obviously, with many planning issues, the the judgment required is not always a black and white thing. There is significant discretion required within the parameters of the law and the Melton planning scheme. As you correctly point out, council does have a number of qualified and experienced planners on staff. We provide professional recommendations, we believe, to the councillors, who then exercise their judgment as they are required to in making decisions on individual matters. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. John Goodman, who's in the gallery. Question reads, is Melton City Council a member of the Municipal Association of Victoria? If so, could you please tell me how much of the $57.6 million the MAV collects in membership and insurance premiums is paid by Melton City Council, and what is the return to Melton ratepayers for this money? Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, to respond.
Thanks, Mr. Goodman, and good evening to you. In response to your question, there's a couple of parts in that. Yes, Melton Council certainly is a member of the Municipal Association of Victoria, which is considered the peak representative body for local government in Victoria under legislation. Melton does pay the MAV an annual subscription in the order of $36,000, which obviously grants us access to all of their services, the networking, the advocacy and efforts and benefits that they provide. In regard to the second part of your question, Council also pays the Municipal Association of Victoria insurance under its MAV insurance, which is a not-for-profit mutual scheme. The annual premium for this council is $450,000, which provides us for public liability insurance. Council has thankfully not had to make a major claim to date, but given the extensive risk profile of local government, not to have insurance in place would be recklessly irresponsible. Council has cover up to $400 million for each and every claim under the policy, and just to put it in some sort of context, in 2013, MAV insurance paid out $25 million in claims, so we would consider it to be a very necessary and prudent level of protection for this council and its community. Thank you.
The next question, also from Mr. Goodman, reads, after a request to council on the 12th of August this year, re the policing of the short-term parking spots in the council's car park to stop people and staff parking all day, excuse me, after not receiving a written reply, I was shocked to see council's way of solving the problem. They changed 9 short-term parking spaces to all-day parking for staff, making it even harder to access the office complex. Well done, council, great public relations. The 9 short-term spaces need to be returned and be policed by some of the 6 bylaws staff. Mr. Peter Bean, to respond.
John, as I track back through our records, a council officer spoke to a customer on, I believe, on or about the 17th of August, advising the council will be reviewing the parking in the Civic Centre precinct. I'm not sure if that was yourself or another member of the public. The review that was referred to at that point in time has been completed and the parking restrictions have been implemented to provide greater options for parking in the precinct and these areas that are now being patrolled. In regard to the 9 bays being removed from the main car park, they have actually been replaced with 30-minute parking provided in the High Street service lane, obviously run in the front of the Civic Centre and the gardens there, which provide an alternative to the 30-minute bays that were removed in the main car park. So thank you.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor in the gallery. His question reads, do plans for the Bloomdale Estate Diggers Rest allow for an additional entry point at Vineyard Road? And if so, what traffic management measures are proposed for this new intersection and what is the timeline for implementation? Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. In summary, yes, there are a number of intersections proposed from the Bloomdale Estate. The most immediate one will be the provision of traffic lights at the intersection of Houdini Drive and Vineyard Road. Unfortunately, and I think I might have answered a similar question previously, I can't give an exact time as to when that will occur. The works will be undertaken by the developer as part of the shopping centre precinct. I am hopeful that those works will occur within the next 2 years. I'm aware that a fatality did occur there in recent months. So obviously works will be required at that location, albeit that, in my view, the traffic flows there are relatively safe at the moment. There's good sight lines, but traffic volumes will obviously significantly increase quite quickly. There's also other intersection treatments proposed that I don't propose to detail now. I'm happy to provide you a plan that indicates where they're intended to be and give you my best indication as to when they're likely to be constructed.
Yes, David. Follow-up? Clarification?
Right. A little bit difficult to establish at the moment, David, but I'm happy to pour over a plan with you so we can establish exactly where you're talking about and talk about what it might be. Thank you.
Next question, the final one this evening, is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, has or will Council be providing comment or making a submission to the Plan Melbourne Refresh discussion paper? If so, will the submission be available for public viewing? In other words, can I have a copy? Mr. Shannon will respond.
The answer is yes, David, you can have a copy. There is an item on tonight's agenda, item 11.18, which talks about our submission. It hasn't been completed. It will be finalised by Friday, and you can have a copy shortly. Thank you.
That completes public question time, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, moving on to agenda item 11, presentation of staff reports. We have item 11.1, authorisation of fixing the common seal.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion that we move items number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 and 22 in block.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I'm assuming you mean when you say we're moving those items, that's 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.10 and 11.22 in block.
That's correct.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor to second that motion?
I'll second that motion and accept all the recommendations contained within.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I have a motion moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All those councillors in favour... Sorry, does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to 11.8... Review of the Local Government Act 1989, presented by Mr. Calvin Tory, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Kel. Madam Mayor. As councillors would be aware, the Minister back in August announced a review of the Local Government Act 1989, and the terms of reference have been represented at Appendix 1 of this report, where the purpose of the review is stated as to revise the current legislation governing local government in Victoria to create a more contemporary, accessible, plain English act that meets current and future needs of the community and the local government sector. The scope of the review includes all aspects of the current act with a view to more accurately and consistently reflecting policy intent and improving clarity. Principles underpinning the review include, but are not limited to, the recognition in the Victorian Constitution of local government as a distinct and democratic tier of government in Victoria, charged with responsibility for delivering peace, order and good government for local communities, and the necessity for the legislation to strike an appropriate balance between autonomy for councils in their operations and decision-making processes and the interests of the Victorian community and government. The government released a discussion paper as the first stage of what it advises will be an extensive consultation process. The discussion paper is intended to begin the conversation with the sector and the community more broadly. The government has invited all Victorians to make a submission in relation to the review, and they can do this either online or by post, and submissions close on the 18th of December. The submission that's presented is intended only to raise the issues for further consideration. It is not intended to be exhaustive nor represent Council's final position on any matter. So the broad submission that's contained at Appendix 2, Madam Mayor, is a summary of the discussion that has been undertaken with councillors through briefing sessions and is presented this evening for council endorsement prior to being submitted to the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation?
Please move the recommendation, Madam Mayor, as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the recommendation motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 11.9, Melton Highway Advisory Committee, and it will be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors might recall that in 2011, Council established a committee to provide Council advice in terms of the future improvements to the Melton Highway, and that's a group known as the Melton Highway Advisory Committee. Council did so acknowledging the fact that the Melton Highway is neither owned nor managed by Council, rather it's owned and managed by Vic Road, so we actually have no direct control over it. It's pleasing to note, Madam Mayor, that since the committee was established, and perhaps it's more than coincidental, there have been a number of significant improvements to the Melton Highway. That includes significant works and road widenings around the Coleroy Creek, resynchronising and the timing of traffic lights in the urban section of the Melton Highway in Hillside, and improved line marking between Lex Road and the Coleroy Creek. In essence, Madam Mayor, the remaining key improvement required to the Melton Highway is a significant one, and that's the duplication. And that's obviously a significant, comes at significant financial cost on behalf of the state government. Madam Mayor, elsewhere in the report, there's a presentation or officer report regarding the hopeful adoption of an overall transport strategy for the municipality known as Moving Melton. Given the likely adoption of that tonight, Madam Mayor, it's proposed that the work and functions of the Melton Highway Advisory Committee be absorbed into a community reference group that's proposed to be established as one of the actions of Moving Melton. A further report will be forthcoming to Council early in the new year regarding establishing such a reference group, and it's proposed that it address issues of all transport forms across the municipality in a cohesive way, and it's felt that it's the way forward in terms of best advocating for improvements across the board. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Do I have any councillor requiring any further clarification on this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second it, and in doing so, say it's about time we had a strong committee to advocate for the transport in Melton. I know we've had a few committees in the past that have done a great job, but it's time to bring it all together and let's put a push on. We really need a lot better transport in Melton.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have a motion moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 11.11, Council Annual Action Plan 2015-16, First Quarter Progress Report, presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. This is to provide an update on where we are for this quarter. The Council Plan 2013-17 was prepared in accordance with the Local Government Act 1989. The plan is reviewed on an annual basis to adopt the evolving need of our growing community. Each year, the annual action plan is produced, identifying the activities and initiatives that Council will work towards achieving in response to the strategic outcomes and strategies identified in that Council plan. The progressive achievement of the annual action plan is reported at the conclusion of each quarter of the financial year, with a final summary provided to Council at the conclusion of each financial year. A summary of the outcomes attached in Appendix 1, Councillors, is from the 1st of July this year to the 30th of September, i.e. the quarter. On page 112 gives an outline and a snapshot of where we are. So it indicates that there's 147 actions, of which 6 are completed and 139 of those 147 are progressing well and on track. It does also reference 2 that are slightly behind schedule and obviously postponed indicates 0. Some of the initiatives and indications, if you like, some of the ones noted on page 112 just under the graph or the table is the traffic school business case, the service review on some of our major contracts for trees, roads, roads and drainage contracts, etc. Of course, our annual report that we prepare. Some additional works we're doing as far as landscape initiatives and the strategy and a bridge road play space. So tonight, councillors, it really is the attached document that really the indication on the table on page 112 tells you where we are and how we're tracking, and there'll be a further report at the end of coming in the new year at the end of the second quarter. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Turner.
That's better. This is a good report. It's great to see what's happening within the council and the plans. I'd just like to ask, can you give us an idea what the 2 behind schedule items are?
I can, Councillor Turner. I will. If you look at page 10 of the attached document, and one is, sorry, let me find them. One is reference to Federation Uni accessing the Library Learning Hub, which they've deferred some of the courses till next year, so that's why that one is showing behind schedule. And another one relates to a people and culture strategy, which we're still working on, which will be deferred and rolled out early 2016. That's the 2.
Councillors, any other further clarifications in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation?
Happy to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'm happy to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda item 11.12, Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children Strategy and Action Plan 2013 to 2016 Progress Report. And this is presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, again. In November 2013, Council endorsed the Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children Strategy and an Action Plan for the term of 2013 to 2016. These strategic documents aim to progress the work in preventing violence against women and their children by promoting gender equity, respectful and equal relationships, and non-violent norms between men and women. Council has a long-standing commitment in preventing violence against women, which is included in the Council plan referenced earlier in the report 2013-2017, and the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan for the same term 2013-2017. In supporting this commitment, a number of significant actions within the Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children Action Plan 2013-16 have been implemented over the past 2 years. The main action plans in the Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children strategy references 4 major strategies, and they're referenced on the bottom of page 139 on this report, which are strong partnerships, council services creating supportive environments, and council as a violence preventing leader, and the 4th one is an informed and vocal community. Overall, there's 45 actions are included over the 3-year term in the action plan implemented in 2015, and some of that table references some of the actions that have been initiated with further work to occur in 2016. And if you note on page 140, councillors, there's been some great activities and initiatives that have been implemented with this very strong campaign and strategic work, which I think is very important for the community and, of course, the council. And I think the council can be very proud of this initiative. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'm quite pleased to move this motion and congratulate Council staff on all of their efforts.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to second this motion and commend Council on their strong support of this strategy. There's a lot of good work being done in this space. There's lots to be done, but also all violence, not just violence against women.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have a motion before us moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 11.13, VCAT decision on application for planning permit number PA2104/4520/1/1-19, Sherwin Court, Melton. And this will be presented by Kelly Archibald, Acting Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council of a recent VCAT decision relating to a planning application to erect a major promotion sign on land at 1/1-19, Sherwin Court, Melton. The subject site is located on the corner of the Melton Highway and Federation Drive in Melton and contains the existing Caltex service station and associated development. In November 2014, Council refused a planning application for a 12.25-metre-high major promotion sign on the Melton Highway frontage, principally on the basis that it would have an adverse impact on the streetscape and would detrimentally affect the visual amenity of nearby properties. The applicant subsequently sought a review of Council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT on the 7th of July 2015. On the 12th of August, VCAT directed that the decision of Council is affirmed and no permit is to be issued. In its decision, the Tribunal considered that the key planning issues were whether the proposed sign was consistent with planning policy and whether the proposed sign was consistent with the decision guidelines of Clause 5205-6 of the Melton Planning Scheme. In relation to the first point, the Tribunal indicated that it is clear that Council's adopted advertising signage policies generally discourage the display of large major promotion signs, such as the one proposed in the application. In terms of the second point, the Tribunal found that the sign will be highly visible to motorists as they slow to use the roundabout at the intersection of the highway with Federation Drive, and that the proposed sign is inconsistent with the open character of the area and at this present point in time. It is therefore recommended that Council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Ms. Archibald. Councillors, do we have any councillor requiring any further clarification on this item? Do we have a councillor to move the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this recommendation and obviously thank VCAT for supporting one of our decisions.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Any councillor opposing? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 11.14, VCAT decision on application for planning permit number PA2104/4545 at 13 Jardine Drive, Plumpton, presented again by Kelly Archibald. Thank you, Ms. Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council of a recent VCAT decision relating to a planning application to construct three dwellings on land at 13 Jardine Drive, Plumpton. The subject site is located on the corner of Jardine Drive and Portofino Crescent within the Taylors Hill West Precinct Structure Plan area and has an area of 586 square metres. In March 2015, Council refused a planning application to construct three attached dwellings on the lot, essentially on the basis of neighbourhood character, non-compliance with res code and that it fails to comply with the approved housing design guidelines for the area. The applicant subsequently sought a review of Council's refusal, which was heard by VCAT on the 4th of September 2015. On the 13th of October, VCAT directed that the decision of Council is affirmed and no permit is to be issued. The Tribunal found that the proposal did not comply with certain aspects of the housing design guidelines for the estate, particularly in relation to building bulk, repetitive attached nature and the presentation to the street. It did not comply with res code in terms of open space, energy efficiency and neighbourhood character outcomes for side setbacks and was effectively an overdevelopment of the site. This is considered to be an important decision as it is one of the first times that a medium-density housing development affected by a PSP and associated housing design guidelines has been tested at VCAT. The decision clarifies the importance to be afforded to approved guidelines and their significance in establishing the residential character of different housing areas. It is therefore recommended that Council note the VCAT decision.
Thank you, Ms. Archibald. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Randi. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda number 11.15, planning application PA2105/4929/2 lots rule subdivision at 402 to 434 Leakes Road, Plumpton. Councillor Quagliari.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternative resolution for PA2015/4929, two-lot subdivision of land at 402 to 434 Leakes Road, Plumpton, that Council resolves to issue a planning permit for the two-lot subdivision of land at 402 to 434 Leakes Road, Plumpton, subject to the following conditions, which is outlined on the piece of paper here, conditions from 1 to 13. That I'll hand across to you.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. We have before us, Councillors, an alternate resolution for PA 2015-4929 for the two-lot subdivision. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this matter?
Yes,
Councillor Dunn.
Under item 8, it specifies sewage facilities. Now, in that area, there's no sewage. I would assume there's septic. So does that still fall under septic? We're not expecting the landowner to run a sewage line?
Through you, Madam Mayor, that's correct. Typically, a property of that nature would have what's known as a package treatment plant or a modern version of a septic tank.
Does any other councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? We have an alternate resolution moved by Councillor Quagliari. Do I have a councillor to second the alternate resolution?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the alternate resolution? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the alternate resolution carried. Councillors, moving your attention to 11.16, moving Melton, City of Melton Integrated Transport Strategy, presented by Ms Kelly Archibald, Acting Manager for City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the City of Melton Integrated Transport Strategy and associated background technical reports. The preparation of an integrated transport strategy was identified as critical to address the transport problems facing the City of Melton and to inform the update of the City's municipal strategic statement and relevant local policies in the 2013 Planning Scheme Review, which was adopted by Council at the ordinary meeting of the 26th of July 2012. Council engaged a consultant, ACOM, in March 2014 to undertake the integrated transport strategy. Council also appointed consultant Harvest Digital Planning to create a website to engage with the community and stakeholders during the preparation of the project. Moving Melton recognises that an integrated transport network is a driver for improved livability and economic opportunity within the City of Melton and provides strategic direction for Council in the form of key implementation advocacy actions required to achieve an integrated, functional and sustainable transport network. Moving Melton provides the implementation plan for Council to undertake improvements to the parts of the transport system that it manages and will form the basis of an advocacy platform to the State Government for the parts of the transport network that the State Government manages. On this basis, it is recommended that Council adopt Moving Melton, the City of Melton Integrated Transport Strategy, November 2015, and the associated action plans. Note the Stage 1 background report, November 2014, and note the Stage 2 directions report, setting directions for Melton's transport system, April 2015. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms Archibald. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Do I have a councillor to move the item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this item and I'd like to thank Council for the work done in putting this together. For to get a better transport system for Melton, this is the sort of work we need to do to prove what we need here. We badly need to transport and this is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a Councillor to second the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that motion and reiterate the words of Councillor Turner in that we need to move forward with our transport and this is the first step in doing so.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 11.17, Amendment C172 to the Melton Planning Scheme, Amendment to the Tool and Precinct Structure Plan, presented by Ms Kelly Archibald. Thank you, Ms Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the preparation and exhibition of Amendment C172 to the Melton Planning Scheme to amend the approved Tulin Precinct Structure Plan and associated documentation. At the Ordinary Council meeting of the 13th of October 2015, Council resolved to write to the MPA providing conditional support for Amendment C162, Paynes Road Precinct Structure Plan, to be undertaken as a ministerial amendment under Section 20, Part 4 of the Planning and Environment Act, subject to the issues in that report being resolved to the satisfaction of the General Manager, Planning and Development. Council officers have been working with the MPA to resolve all outstanding submissions, including those of other state agencies. As part of the submission process, Public Transport Victoria advised PTV they seek to establish the future Paynes Road station as a park and ride destination within the rail network that will necessitate a minimum of 1,000 car spaces. PTV has requested that sufficient land area be secured within the precinct to accommodate these facilities. Part of the proposed station is within the approved Tulin Precinct Structure Plan area. The Tulin PSP was approved in 2010, and at this time a train station at Paynes Road was not anticipated and as a result has not been identified in the Tulin PSP. As a result, an amendment to the Melton Planning Scheme is required to facilitate the development of the future Paynes Road station. The proposed amendment C172 will update the Tulin PSP to identify the land for the future station and include changes to all relevant plans and any requirements and guidelines which are required to facilitate the future development of the train station. Update the Tulin PSP to provide clearer guidance on noise attenuation requirements along the rail corridor. Update the Tulin PSP and associated documents to facilitate the development of the grade separation at Mount Cottrell Road. Update the Tulin Development Contributions Plan to reflect the inclusion of land for the Paynes Road station if required, and update the Urban Growth Zone Schedule 3 to reflect the changes to the Tulin PSP and DCP. On this basis, it is recommended that Council seek authorisation to prepare a planning scheme amendment from the Minister for Planning, and upon receiving authorisation, exhibit the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms Archibald. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Turned it off. I'd like to move the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have a motion before us moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 11.18, Council submission to Plan Melbourne Refresh, presented by Ms Kelly Archibald. Thank you, Ms Archibald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the key issues of the draft Metropolitan Planning Strategy, Plan Melbourne Refresh, that are of relevance to the City of Melton and should form the basis of Council's submission to the Minister for Planning. Following the change of government to Labor in late 2014, the current Minister for Planning has released Plan Melbourne Refresh discussion paper for comment. The Plan Melbourne Refresh retains many of the priorities included in Plan Melbourne 2014, but seeks to revisit some key issues. Whilst Melton City Council is supportive of the intent of the directions and initiative in the Plan Melbourne, many of the directions and initiatives in the Plan Melbourne Refresh discussion paper, there is a lack of clear justification for some proposed changes. There is no clear direction for implementation, and there continues to be no real commitment to the funding of key state infrastructure. The key issues included of relevance to Melton include, but are not limited to, further detail required on locking down the urban growth boundary and a need to ensure that all growth area councils are engaged in the process, further clarification of the proposed 70 to 30% split of growth between established and growth areas and how this will impact on growth area councils, strongly object to the proposed downgrading of the Tulin Metropolitan Activity Centre against the recommendation of the Ministerial Advisory Committee, and the need to obtain bipartisan support and prepare a strong implementation strategy that defines timelines and funding mechanisms and holds all those involved in the delivery of the plan accountable. On this basis, it is recommended that Council endorses the preparation of the City of Melton's detailed submission based on the key issues discussed in the Council report and delegate authority to prepare and approve the submission to a planning committee comprised of the Chief Executive Officer, General Manager of Planning and Development and the Manager of the City Design Strategy Environment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms Archibald. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this matter? Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor, do we believe that this council submission is strong enough to advocate against the downsizing or downgrading of the Tulin precinct from what it was to what they've advocated for.
Through you, Madam Mayor, Council will be providing a strongly worded submission with regards to that issue. We're also preparing a joint growth areas submission with all the growth area councils within Melbourne that are also raising this issue. So I just believe the two submissions together will provide a strong response to that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any other clarifications, councillors? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I have a motion before us moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Agenda item 11.19, Investment and Attraction Strategy 2016 to 2019, presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors will recall adopting a new economic development and tourism plan in 2014. One of the key actions or deliverables from that was the need to establish a investment attraction strategy, and I'm pleased to refer councillors to Appendix 1, which provides a draft strategy for hopefully final adoption. The investment attraction strategy talks at a relatively high level about how council might foster new investment and economic growth within the municipality. There's five key themes outlined within the strategy, which relate to activity centres, investment facilitation and business development, incubation of home-based business and small business, future growth and enabling assets, and investment attraction marketing. Madam Mayor, the draft strategy has been through an extensive consultation process. There hasn't been a great deal of public feedback, which is not unexpected. However, it's considered that it is a sound document and provides Council with a sound platform to continue to promote economic prosperity within the municipality. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second it, Madam Mayor, and in doing so, just state that it's very evident the direction this council's taken in all areas across the board with the forward thinking that's now happening for our planning through all our departments. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have a motion before us moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 1120, VEC Electoral Representation Review Final Report, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the final report presented in regard to the Melton Electoral Representation Review. As Councillor aware, the Victorian Electoral Commission undertook a review of Council and released the final report on the 25th of November of this year. Attached as Appendix 1 to this Council report is a copy of that report. The report, in brief, details the process undertaken by the VEC during the electoral representation review of the Council and the subsequent recommendation for the electoral structure for the City of Melton going forward. The Electoral Commission recommends the electoral structure of Melton City Council consists of 9 councillors, elected from 1 4-ward councillor, 1 4-councillor ward, 1 3-councillor ward and 1 2-councillor ward. The recommendation was submitted to the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, for consideration on 25 November, as required under the Local Government Act 1989. If the Electoral Commission recommendation is accepted, changes to the electoral structure of Melton City Council will take effect at the next Council General election to be held in October of 2016. It is considered highly likely that the recommendation of the VEC will be confirmed. Council participated at every available opportunity within the process, first submitting that the current electoral structure of 7 councils across 3 wards remain. Council subsequently elected a preference of the option A in the draft report or the preliminary report from the Electoral Commission, which proposed a representation of 9 councils elected from 1 4-councillor ward, the 1 3-councillor ward and 1 2-councillor ward, as previously stated. Council further supported this written submission by participating in a public hearing held by the VEC at the Melton Library and Learning Hub. The ultimate recommendation of the Electoral Commission was option A, if the preliminary report is preferred by Council. With this presented to Council, Madam Mayor, I therefore present the recommendation that the Council note the report as detailed of the recommendations of the Victorian Electoral Commission as set out in Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Madam Mayor, but I wonder where we're going to put them.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second it. In doing so, just state that councillors, the majority of councillors, were against an increased number. We felt that the number of councillors we have at present works well, and more councillors, more trouble. But, well, it's like having cats sometimes, let's be honest. But, yeah, increased numbers will make it more interesting, let's say that. But, yeah, increased numbers mean increased cost to council, and coming up the next year is going to be cap rates. It would be good if we didn't have any extra costs added. But in saying so, would councillors as a whole recognise that this was going to happen whether we liked it or not? So I'm just pleased that the decision we took to put a submission in was accepted, and it's obviously recognising that a growing area and we're going to have more people. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have a motion before us moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 11.21, Melton Public Cemetery, and it's presented by Mr Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening just merely a report to them in regard to the current status of the Melton Public Cemetery. For those members of Council who aren't familiar with the cemetery, it's been serving the Melton community since 1861, originally managed by a community representative trust. In 1922, control of the cemetery was transferred to Melton Shire Council at that time. The Melton Public Cemetery is considered a Class B cemetery under the Cemeteries and Crematoria Act 2003 and is currently managed by council staff under delegation of the trustees, being all councillors of the City of Melton. The cemetery is 2.4 hectares of Crown land and currently consists of approximately 2,500 burial sites and 1,037 sites for interment of cremated remains. Historically, burial sites were purchased for single burials or as a family plot, which is common amongst the old monumental areas within the cemetery. In more recent times, burial sites are generally purchased to enable two burials and, in some instances, three. Burials at the cemetery are in perpetuity. It is estimated through records that 2,500 burials have been received to date. However, prepaid burial sites and reopens of double sites, there is still capacity for approximately 2,000 further burials to be taking place. Over the past 6 years, up to 12 new lawn beams have been constructed to provide a further 250 burial sites, which can accommodate up to 500 burials in total. The lawn beams were constructed in vacant lawn areas in different areas of the cemetery. However, this process is now complete and there is no further capacity to increase this number. The only remaining section of vacant land is in the southeastern corner of the cemetery. The Shire of Melton Heritage Study Citation 181 states that this section of the cemetery is the final resting place of the bones of Aboriginal people found on Greenhill Station, and close by are the bones of workers from the old Rock Bank Quarry. As such, it has been determined that this area cannot be developed in any form moving forward. As of the 30th of November 2015, there are only 15 vacant burial sites available for the Council's awareness. These remaining sites have been reserved for at need, and that refers to immediate interment requirements. At the current rate of at-need purchases, it is anticipated that these will be fully accounted for in early 2016. The cemetery will continue to offer burial services to holder of prepaid burial sites or burial sites where a second interment can be accommodated. The cemetery will also continue to provide sites for the interment of cremated remains, with more than 400 sites still available for that matter. Including prepaid and multiple sites, it is estimated that 700 interments of cremated remains can still be accommodated. It is further expected that the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust will begin works on their new public cemetery located in Harkness Road, Melton West, in the next 8 to 10 years. This site is expected to meet the long-term future needs of the community. Knowing the current needs of the Melton Cemetery, Madam Mayor, and the advice that we've been given from the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust,
I present the following recommendation for Council's consideration. It's in four parts and I'll read it out as follows. It is that 1, Council receive the report for information. 2, that no further burial sites be sold as pre-purchase sites. 3, Council continue discussions with the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust in relation to options going forward to address the cemetery facility needs of this community. And 4, a media campaign be undertaking advising the community of the current situation and medium-term options available for cemetery services. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification to this item?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner.
Mr. Bean, what is the near-term future for any residents in Melton who pass away in the next 2-3 years? We know there's a longer term, 7-8 years. Hopefully Happiness Road will be up and running by then. But in the meantime, what is the option for residents who pass away?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Turner. There are no medium-term needs locally to accommodate Melton residents as such. The requirement of Council to be engaging with the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust is to find out what they can do to assist us in transitioning people in such a difficult period of time. Obviously, the responsibility of Council staff in moving forward in this regard would be, I guess, to provide the immediate options in the immediate area to help those people make the best decisions. There are cemeteries at Bacchus Marsh, Gisborne, Sunbury. Keilor Cemetery, I believe, is closed for the next 3 months, 3 years from taking burials. There is Altona and Faulkner also as well.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Any other further clarification or questions, councillors, for this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation as a notice of motion?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor, I suppose.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving on to agenda item 12, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. And I'll start off with Councillor Dunn. Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Your committees?
Yeah, sorry, I was waiting for 11:22. Sorry. Yes, on the 12th of November, attended the Melton Reservoir Committee meeting at the Melton Speedboat Runabout place. And we're continuing to discuss the very challenging observations that we have with this specific committee. On the 18th of November, I attended, along with Councillor Turner, who also attended the Melton Reservoir, the Melton Municipal Emergency Management Committee. Even though I'm not on the committee, I'm reserve. But because they specifically discussed a mock grass fire, I decided, because I'm also on the Melton Fire Management, that I would attend that one. And that was great to see something like that in place. And hopefully we will never have to implement that strategy. On the 23rd of November, the policy review, and on the 8th of December, the PDAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had several committee meetings this month. The first was at the Ravenhall Prison Project. The committee was taken for a bus tour around the worksite of the new facility in Ravenhall. We were also given a presentation of landscaping at the new prison. The proposed landscape design framework, which is intended to physically and psychologically reconnect prisoners to nature, to society, to culture. And the site for the Ravenhall Prison is a priority for the Corrections Victoria, and it is on track for delivery in late 2017, which commenced in March this year. Just a little bit more information about it. The new prison will target the needs of youth, Indigenous prisoners, and those with mental health issues, as well as prisoners with challenging behaviour, and those serving short sentences and prisoners with significant post-release support needs. I also had a Reconciliation Advisory Committee, and we were introduced to our new staff member, the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Community Engagement Officer. Just to highlight to members in the gallery that the reconciliation policy is now available on the Melton Council website. We went through the Reconciliation Action Plan. We had discussions about the grassland naming project that one of the local schools is going to be involved in. And I also had a monthly assessment panel meeting assessing an application. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the National Growth Area Alliance Conference in Liverpool, New South Wales, just in case anyone was worried. They're also looking at the same as the Interface Fund, lobbying for a National Growth Area Alliance Fund in the up-and-coming election, and they've got a strategy going forward as to the ask and what we need. So there'll be a huge communication about that as well. The Western Base AGM and board meeting, both myself and the Mayor attended, and also General Manager Luke Shannon. And for the 6 months it's been running, it's been doing okay. It's been meeting its targets, and whilst I've got the opportunity, I'd like to farewell Ashley Dunn, who's gone on to greener pastures from that, and thank her for all the work in setting the Western Base up along with Mark. The Audit Committee I attended, and that's my last meeting for the year. Yeah, no. And we've got two wonderful committee members, such as Councillor Bentley and Councillor Carley, that will be replacing myself and the Mayor on that next year. And I look forward to handing over the gauntlet to you and letting you go. The Policy Review Committee met. The Community Learning Board meeting met. I also tagged along to the Gaming Plan Planning Policy Project. Now, anyone that's here that's got an issue with gaming machines or wants to have a say on where they'd like to have them or where they'd like to not have them, please get onto our webpage. I'm sure communications will put it somewhere towards the front of the, and it's probably closed by now, but I no, it's not. I need you to get on there because we're not getting the feedback we seek. So if you get to your organisations, have a say, because at the end of the day, council and your representatives can do so much, but we need the community to voice their concerns or their attributes as well. So that's our webpage, and look for the gaming planning policy survey. PDAC also met, and the HRV Grants Assessment Panel also sat down for adjudication. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I've just got a couple here. Policy Review Panel meeting, which the minutes have been tabled in tonight's agenda, and also the Western Base Board meeting and AGM, with which Councillor Ramsey already spoke about. But just a few highlights that we focused on the last 12 months to appoint, obviously, our CEO, which we successfully done. And congratulations to Mark Corey, who has been there for a fair few months now and doing well. The Western Base Board of Directors have developed appropriate policies and procedures over the last 12 months to support the ongoing funding of the centre. The focus has also been to lay the foundation for the development of the base and its activities across business acceleration, learning and development, urban design outcomes, sustainable residential design, and best practice, best business practices. I'd like to thank the CEO, Mark Corey, the Chair, and all the board members for their contribution, and look forward to the next year. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 26th of November, I attended the Early Years Partnership Committee meeting. We discussed the Best Start Regional Reference Group, and we had a report from Vicky Matthews in regards to that. We had an overview of 2015. We had a Better Outcomes, Brighter Futures presentation by Melissa Sapupo. We spoke about the Best Start Working Groups, Early Years Directory and Supported Play Groups. And Madam Mayor, I just take this opportunity to ask Mr Heaney if he could please, and I'm sure I speak on Councillor Ramsey's behalf on this as well, if you could just say a huge thank you to Bev and to Lee and to Vicky for all the hard work that they do on this committee. They're absolutely fantastic. So if you could please pass that on, I'd much appreciate it. Also, Madam Mayor, on the 7th of December, I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee meeting. We spoke about the progress update on the Caroline Springs Gallery, Artist in Residence Expression of Interest applications, Martin Hodge Public Artwork Restoration, and me joining in 2016. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As usual, no bodies to report from, but however, they are popping up in my calendar, so I'm looking forward to next year.
And I'm looking forward to your report, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. On the 12th of the 11th, along with Councillor Dunn, attended the Mountain Reservoir Advisory Committee, so I won't talk about that. She's already talked about that. Also, on the 18th, we also both attended the exercise sundown. If anyone wants to look at the information, it tells you here the exercise. It was actually a grass event, a grass fire event going through the municipality, and what effect it would have and how the various services would deal with the problems that come up. And it's all there if MD would like to have a look at it. Same with any of the committees. If MD wants any more information, they can let me know. On the 23rd of November, I attended the Leisure Advisory Committee. It was a fairly busy night. Some of the things we spoke about was open space plan, the West Metropolitan Trails Advocating Strategy, Bridge Road Athletics and Hockey Facility, which is coming up pretty fast now. It's looking great. And the Mountain Waves Leisure Tender. These were just some of the things we discussed on the night. On the 25th, I attended the VLGA Governance by Design panel, and that's regarding governance and promoting how we best promote areas like Melton and get everybody on board pushing in the same direction. It's a little bit more than that, but it's about the best I can take out of it. Anyway, on the CALDAC meeting on the 25th as well, we had a new committee arrived on that night, and it was great to see all the new members. Looks like we had a nice, strong committee again for the coming year. We discussed members' issues and how CALDAC could support the various communities in their efforts to help their communities. We also discussed the coming events. There will be Cultural Diversity Week and Harmony Day, and also Refugee Week in June. I'm just about there. On the 7th of December, I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee. The discussions were the CS Gallery, and how that's going to be promoted and activated through the community, and also the new residence and artist in residence program, which is being promoted throughout the city. We will encourage artists to come and run programs for council and for themselves, promoting themselves, and they will have an artist's space at the gallery, which will be a really good option for them to promote themselves as well. Last night I attended the Melbourne Regional Landfill Community Consultation Group. It's a very large group. Half the committee is Stop the Tip campaigners, and they're quite happy to stand up and say that, and it was a good discussion on the night. The biggest thing probably for the most of the group that come out the night was the option of canisters being supplied to the community for them to do testing when there is odours in the community. So that looks like they're going to be supplied at cost a couple of $1,000s to the community, and everybody was quite happy with that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry, Councillor Turner, is that a couple of thousand in total, or how much are the canisters?
No, I'm just cheating you there. It was actually four canisters for a couple of $1,000s.
Okay.
You got me.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I was just clarifying. I wasn't sure how much a canister costed. Thank you, Councillor Turner. We have moving along to Agenda Item 13, Councillor Representations and Acknowledgements. 13.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989, and we have a recommendation before us.
I'd like to move that the Record of Assembly of Councillors attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor that requires any further clarification? Any councillor who opposes the motion, all those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 13.2, public address by each councillor. And I'll start off with Councillor Turner this time. Councillor Turner, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Things run in the community by council. There's been quite a few events this month. The Star Awards, which is not a community event, it's actually a council event to award the staff for the great work they're doing, and we had all the awards on the day, especially the 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 year awards, which was fantastic to see, and there was quite a few councillors there on the day. My eyes are not good today. I'm trying to find where I am. I'm written down too much. Anyway, look, I'll let somebody else speak.
No worries, Councillor Turner. Yeah. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I take this opportunity, and I spoke again in our August meeting in Caroline Springs. 25th of last month was White Ribbon Day. I went along on the 27th to the Shine a Light vigil held by Zonta on the 27th, a couple of nights later. And to hear and reflect on what is going on in our community and what domestic violence does is something that we should all do. 1 in 3 women are affected by domestic violence. So that's whether the third person you walk down in the street, in the supermarket, at the library, at work, they will be affected by domestic violence. And how do we combat this? As it says on my little wristband that I wear from time to time, not silent, not violent. We need to speak out. We need to shine a light on these things that are going on. And it's great to see that council are doing some of these things. One of these things was the coffee cup campaign that I saw and was briefly spoke about in our action plan, which I'll get to in a little bit. But the little things that talk about these things that we do is what we need to do. When you're having a cup of coffee, look at it and go, oh, that's great, have a chat about that. Because we need to be the leaders in our community to stop this. One of our action plans was council as a violence prevention leader. And it's great to see some of the things that we were doing. Like I was talking to Mr. Bean over here a few weeks ago about I wasn't unfortunately unable to make it to the breakfast and the lunch. But to do that and get us involved and talking about this issue is what we need to do. And we need to get the community talking about this issue. So it's great to see that we are doing something about this, and I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about this. It's not something that we want to talk about. We are bringing it out into the light. 20 years ago, domestic violence was something nobody wanted to talk about. I remember Dawn talking about at the vigil that 20 or so years ago she reported domestic violence, and they were more interested in the stolen goods in her husband's car than they were in her being beaten up. And it's great to see that we are moving forward in today to having family violence prevention, intervention orders and those sorts of things. And it's great that we are taking those steps, but we need to take more. 1 in 3 women is appalling. It is appalling. And we need to change that. So these steps that we are taking here are fantastic. But we need to do more. And so that's all I'd like to say.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 16th of November, I attended the Melton Family and Local History Group official launch of their ANZAC web page. Councillor Turner was there, Councillor Ramsey, and you, Madam Mayor. That was a great morning when Brendan O'Connor launched that. On the 28th of November, I attended the Melton City Council Energy and Sustainability Expo featuring guests Vasili, and I won't try to pronounce his surname, over in Caroline Springs Library. That was also a great morning and a great turnout. And on the 2nd of December, I attended the Melton Staff Star Awards. I think this is the third year I've attended that, and I think the room keeps getting fuller and fuller. So well done to the CEO and the executive for putting that on for their staff, because not many councils do that, so well done. I'd also like to take this opportunity, Madam Mayor, if I could just wish all our residents a Merry Christmas, as this is our last meeting for the year. Merry Christmas and a happy and safe New Year with your family and loved ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll just reel off my list, and that means most of the councillors that are here have attended either some or, if not all of them. The Melton RSL Remembrance Service, it's touching, it gets bigger and better every year. The Probus Club of Melton Ladies' 25th birthday celebrations, the Melton Family and Local History Group, official launch of their ANZAC webpage. What was it again? Just another pair of socks? Or?
Yep.
Absolutely brilliant. The Melton Relay for Life Trivia Night, raising vital funds for...
Excuse me, Madam, I must interject here. Councillor Ramsay is going to be a calendar girl. She won on the night to be a calendar girl for the relay.
Sorry, Councillor Turner, can you repeat that? I just got calendar girl.
They had a thing on the night when a few of the people in the night, I don't know if they'd been drinking or not, to be honest, but Councillor Ramsay was one of the ones that's going to be a calendar girl when they do the calendar
just
next
leave it
year.
At that, Councillor Turner, please.
Councillor Ramsay, do we know what month? What month?
Yes, he didn't say it, but that's where it finished. The second Zonta Shine a Light Vigil, and Councillor Bentley couldn't have said it any better, but what heightens it for me is when both our male councillors take a lead role and move and second those items on the agenda, and it even heightens it for me when I have managers and general managers and CEOs that lead the charge from the administration point of view. So thank you to each and every one of you, because, yes, it is something that really needs to be looked at. The Melton Cancer Group had a Christmas breakup, the Christmas Road Safety NVE celebrations, Vietnam Vets Veterans Dinner Dance, the grand opening of the new Riddles Creek District FNL headquarters, the Melmarsh Prostate Cancer Group breakup, the celebration day at the Xinjin Shen Caroline Springs Chinese School, the expert residence family Christmas, the working dingoes are moving to Ainsby Forest, the Pistol Club Christmas breakup, the carols by candlelight. Now, how could I go past the carols by candlelight? Absolutely brilliant. More importantly, though, during that day, the Christmas hamper donation day for Linda's Hampers, in excess of 120 hampers were distributed to those that were needy. Well done, ladies and gentlemen, all of you involved. I also filled in for the Mayor on the official opening of the Shredurga Temple, which was the short story competition presentation. The official opening of Arnold's Creek Primary School, where the Deputy Premier was there, and boy can he charm a crowd, especially if they're preppies. And also the invitation of appreciation for the support luncheon for Melton City Council, its staff, for the Lancefield bushfires. So that was me in, and I also too have got Christmas. Believe in the magic of Christmas with close family and friends. Travel safely on our roads, because we look forward to seeing you all in 2016. And to all those Year 12 students that got their results yesterday, celebrate, enjoy what you've achieved, but also remember there's lots of pathways to achieve your end goal. And good luck for the future.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before I actually start off, there is a presentation from the Australian Government Department of Immigration and Border Protection, and there is a plaque, and the plaque states, presented to Melton City Council in appreciation of your ongoing support of the Australian citizenship.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. And may I just take the opportunity to thank the staff that do organise our citizenship ceremonies. We have quite a few during the year, and one coming up on the 26th of January, which is our big Australia Day citizenship ceremony. So put that in your calendar, folks. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just in an event that I'd like to talk about that many of our residents were keen to learn more was the Sustainability Expo at Caroline Springs that some of the councillors did mention. Vasili Kanidiatis, host of the Vasili Garden Show, was present, presenting his passion of growing a healthy and sustainable garden. And Vasili, during his presentation at Caroline Springs, passes on what he learnt about the benefits of recycling, reducing and reusing products, knowledge often handed down from parents and grandparents who had to garden to survive their home countries. I also would like to take this opportunity to thank the residents, the community and council staff for another year of great year of completed projects and events in our municipality, and I wish you and your families peace and happiness during this time, this holiday season, and a healthy 2016.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also attended the Melton Family and Local History Group ANZAC launch, and being a staunch history buff, I urge everyone to get onto the website and have a look at it. And also, that's a good segue to say that the Heritage Awards are still open for nominations, so if you know of anyone that's contributed to any heritage, please nominate someone, because there's a lot of people that do a lot of great work out there but don't get the accolades for it. I also attended on the 25th of November an end-of-year celebration combining three townships, which is Amesbury, Diggers Rest and Rockbank. And we tend to forget those three townships sometimes. It's Caroline Springs and Melton, and we tend to forget those three communities. And it was a fantastic day held in the Rockbank Hall, which is a beautiful little hall as well. The people that were represented there were from each of the townships. We had the Rockbank Caravan Park Community Garden, which is a great concept, engaging people that are usually disengaged from society to get together and actually share not only food but ideas and each other's company. And there was Bollywood dancing, which if I was 30 years younger, I might have been able to do. And then the Amesbury Drama School, which was a group of kids that presented, and that was a great day. And then I've attended quite a few other Christmas functions, Linda's Hampers, Christmas carols, parties. I'm sort of all fooded out and haven't even started. And I too want to reiterate what my fellow councillors said about Christmas and Happy New Year. And just remember those people that are less fortunate than us, and those that can't be at the table with you, the people that are no longer in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Most of the events that I attended was also attended by my fellow councillors. Just a few highlights: the launch of the ANZAC website by Brendan O'Connor. He also attended with just another pair of socks. I also attended Woodley Development and learnt a bit more about their Integrated Learning Centre, which is quite exciting for our future residents that will be at Woodley. I also attended the reopening and the launch of Melton Visitor Information Centre. I also attended the VLGA 2016 Mayor's Welcome event with Minister Hutchins, and I commend Minister Hutchins, who spoke very well at the actual event, and I thanked her for her continual support for this municipality as well. And she actually launched the Know Your Council website, which gives you a little bit more information about how councils are doing compared to other councils. I attended the Zonta Club with the Violence Against Women, which Councillor Bentley so eloquently spoke about, and very touching to hear a young male councillor who speaks this way. We know that, if we get our younger generation to be speaking this way, we will hopefully prevent or counteract. It'll probably, hopefully one day it'll be all in the past where something like violence against women doesn't even exist, which will be a fantastic outcome. I also attended the Caroline Springs Scouts AGM, and what a great event this was. This was all the scouts from all over Victoria. It was a fantastic event. The video that we were shown just highlighted all the team building and the leadership skills that all the kids are actually learning through the Cub Scouts and the Scouts. And it's also, most importantly, breaking down cultural barriers. And there was a talk by two young gentlemen from Cyprus and the wars that were that they endured while they were there, and they actually had a scout group there as well, and it got bombed and bombarded, and a lot of their families actually died in the process, and their friends, and they actually came over to Australia, and just how they were speaking, it was so touching that we as Australians could embrace them and bring them over to a safer and, may I say, a very lucky country. And it was just heartwarming how they how Scouts breaks down that barrier of cultural differences and just embraces the kids as a whole. I attended the Sustainability Expo, the Melton Secondary College Arts and Concert Night, which, may I just say, what a fantastic night. Some of the councillors joined me. The entertainment that the secondary college students performed were just amazing. It was such great talent, a great pool of talent in that school. So, yeah, well done to the Melton Secondary College Arts, Melton Secondary College group. And I also attended the Melton City Council Staff Awards, which, Councillor Turner, I think you forgot, there was also a 30-year award as well as the 25. And there was a few members of our staff that have achieved 30 years, which is a tremendous achievement, and that just is testament of this organisation and the ability to sustain and keep these fantastic staff members is just a wonderful statement to not only this organisation but to our community as well. I attended the Melton Residents Association. Thank you for inviting me, and also the Riddle District FNL Club in Arnold's Creek Pavilion. This is a fantastic club that's finally within the boundaries of our municipality, which will just be a positive, an absolute positive for our community. I also attended a short video from the Sons of West Men's Health Initiative. This was a short video on a gentleman that's actually undertaking a program through the Sons of the West, which encourages men in the West to come and learn about nutrition and health and well-being for themselves. As we know, sometimes men don't actually seek that support from the relative medical doctors, so it's just a great way to come together and learn more about nutrition and how to keep their bodies healthy. And I think the stats was something like the average male in the West is the lifespan is something like 70 or 72 years old, which is a lot less than someone from other parts of Melbourne, which was just, that was shocking to me. You know, I myself am in my mid-40s and I'm thinking, you know, there's not much time left for myself, let alone No, I'm not. I wasn't looking at you, Councillor Ramsey. So that we're trying to, I guess, Sons of the West is trying to change those statistics. And I believe Councillor Turner was a part of that. Somebody mentioned that Councillor Turner, they know Councillor Turner. I think you were a part of that. And some of our executive team as well went through the program, which was just fantastic. I also attended a mayor's tour of VCAT, which was very, very interesting, and in how they deal with matters that are presented to them. And we had some very good stats as Melton City Council. I think we only had about 8 applications go forward to VCAT in the last 12 months, whereas there were some other councils that were in the, and I won't mention any councils' names, but in the vicinity of like 180 applications that went to VCAT. So they commended Melton for the processes that we have in put in place. And I said I'll make sure that I let councillors and council staff know. I attended the Exford Residents Association Christmas event, which is always a pleasure. They're fantastic and very warm and inviting group of people. I attended the Linda's Hampers. I actually saw the what actually goes into something like that, and the coordination of the hampers being given out to the community members that are in need was just fantastic, and I commend the group. There was kids, you know, receiving Christmas presents that, you know, wouldn't otherwise have received. There was a great sausage sizzle, and there was a real-life Santa could have sworn he was the real deal. He looked like the real deal. So congratulations to the team there. That fantastic job. I also attended the Manor Project Word of Life Church in Rockbank, and they too were handing out hampers, and they were having a Christmas lunch. And it was just testament to me that there are community members that really care for those that are not, you know, that are struggling in, especially during this time during Christmas. You know, and there's people that genuinely care about the future of our community members that are struggling. So I just want to commend particularly both these projects, but there are many others in our community that want to just reach out and help out to our community. So it's fantastic knowing that I'm a part of this community that care about their community members. I also attended the Melton Carols by Candlelight, which was fantastic, and I also attended a Caroline Springs Carols by Candlelight organised by In Church Melbourne and South West Church. And congratulations to Pastors Craig and Melissa Mayer, who are the pastors of In Church Melbourne, which they're situated in Caroline Springs. I commend their church and congregation, and also the local businesses that came and supported them. There was a really, really great turnout, fantastic event. I commend them highly. It was great to see that, you know, the Carols by Candlelight spirit was amongst the community members there as well. And I think most importantly, during this month, I met with Treasurer Tim Pallas, and we went advocating on behalf of the NGAA. Councillor Ramsey pointed that out. The NGAA are trying to get the federal government to commit to the same kind of funding that the state government have currently got for growth councils. So it's a fund for growth councils. And while I was there, I did actually advocate for the duplication and electrification of the Melton train line, as well as I advocated for the hospital in Melton and also the upgrade of Western Highway into the freeway, into a freeway status. So our goal there was to get the Treasurer's letter of support to now go to, I guess, Canberra and let them know, the federal government, that that there's great facts behind the support that we're getting from the Interface Growth Council Fund, and he was kind enough to support us, and so that letter of support will be fantastic for us when the NGAA next go and meet with the relevant Prime Minister and Ministers in Canberra. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for your patience, councillors. Moving along to item number 14, notices of motion. 14.1, notice of motion 413, Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that Council investigate and prepare a report to come to Council at the next ordinary meeting on establishing a snake catching program for the City of Melton and include the costs of such a program.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillors, do we have any councillors with further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
I have, and I think it's a great motion, but I have some with the officer's comments, if I may. Can I just, when do we intend to renew delivery of the service in June 2000, or renew or review?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it should be review.
And in regards to the second paragraph, it says a contractor. Would something, a program that covers the City of Melton, only need a contractor to do, or would a panel of contractors
do? Through Madam Mayor, Councillor Ramsey, in the context of trying to work out how much costs would be, we referred to a contractor, but the report would come back to Council with the most appropriate way forward. If we were to provide a program, we believe it would be a panel of providers.
Right. Thank you.
Councillors, any other questions in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. We have a notice of motion before us, moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Is there any councillor who opposes the motion? Councillor Dunn. We enter into debate. Councillor Carley, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I believe that we need to have this service. It, I think it's going to protect our residents, and I've heard from many of my residents who don't live on rural properties, as I know Councillor Dunn does, that they're scared to let their kids play in the backyard or in the front yard. I've seen in the local papers of how many animals have been killed by snake bites, and what are we going to do? Are we going to wait until a child is killed before this council puts something in place? Wyndham does have this. I know it's working in Wyndham. I also have an article, which I'm more than happy to pass on to Mr. Bean, that their service is 24/7. They've been providing this service for 25 years, and it's at a cost of $30,000. $30,000, and it might be more. I'm waiting for the report to come, but I think is a very small amount to pay for the safety of our children.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Carley pointed out, I do live on the land, so I have very, very first-hand of snakes. For starters, we actually decide to live along waterways, so we do invite, we are living in areas where snakes have already inhabited the area. We do have... we do invite them into our properties by the way of leaving water out for pets, having the environment such as gardens, shrubberies, etc. And, I mean, we all do that. But I have an article here from a company that actually catches snakes. And they state that if the snake's removed, then you may think your problem is gone, but it isn't. Once a snake has been removed from a good living spot, the vacancy is left for another snake. And I do know this firsthand. If you have a snake removed, they are protective of their areas and they will actually move in. If your property is good snake real estate, then it's likely you'll get another snake at some time. Now, the chances of being able to call a snake catcher out and catch a snake is pretty remote because a snake can actually disappear before your very eyes. Wyndham do actually have a snake catching program at the moment, which they are going to cancel. They also do run, though, which I think is probably more important, snake information sessions, and I think we need to really inform our new residents, especially in around Lake Caroline or around waterways, that you really have to try and prepare your property against snakes. With Wyndham, if the snake is visible, the council will remove it free of charge. If the snake, however, disappears, it comes to the cost of the resident. And I've just done a quick Whittlesea, Hume, Moorabool. They all have that you contact, and unfortunately they have to update their websites, but it's DSE, which is no longer DSE, DPI. If it's on public land with Moorabool, if it's on private land, you have to contact snake handlers, and there is a list of snake handlers, and I do believe that council has a list of snake handlers on their website. And just as a last point, you can buy for as minimal as $10 a snake deterrent, which I have one in my backyard, and since I've put that in, I have had no problem with snakes, and I have a lot of problems with snakes because I do live on the rural area. I have pets. I have a waterway near me. I've been there for 28 years, and I can't count how many snakes I've seen or had very close. Since I've put this snake deterrent in, which is a solar panel, little like a solar light, emits a electronic signal out through the ground, I haven't seen a snake. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Carley is just asking for the officers to further to investigate, to prepare a report and to come to council. So I don't know what the issue is. And another thing that we've got to also remember, that many of our residents are moving into areas such as, great example is probably Plumpton. A lot of the houses are budding the paddocks there. So, yeah, you will have snakes sort of going into their backyards, and there are problems out there. So I think Councillor Carley, what she's trying to say is, let's protect our community and get the officers to prepare a report, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Is there any councillor who would like to speak against the motion? Councillor Ramsay.
I'll get up just to speak. I probably wasn't going to speak against it. But I am the reason why Councillor Dunn, I believe, would be speaking against it is because she might think it's a waste of resources or council time to prepare a report that's not going to be substantiated by council. The other thing is, when it comes down to, if there's only one council that currently runs the snake catching program, after 25 years is looking at reviewing it or cancelling it, whether by popular demand or what, if they get pressured into keeping it or whatever, if it only costs $35,000, why? And then if it only costs $35,000, what do we get for our $35,000? Because if I had a snake on my property, I'm telling you now, I wouldn't be waiting around for a snake catcher. And what happens if that snake catcher or other snake catchers are in Diggers Rest or Caroline Springs or Ainsbury or somewhere else? I just don't know the full extent of... I don't want to provide a false hope to our community by providing a snake catcher to solve all problems when, if we're only going to put a band-aid over a gaping wound, is it our responsibility? Is it our core responsibility? That and more will probably come out in the report because I'm not against the report.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Is there any councillor to speak for the motion? Is there any other councillor who wants to speak? Councillor Carley, you have the final say.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I just say that I do look forward to this report, and as I do know that a lot of these questions will be answered when it comes before the council. And I know when Councillor Ramsay just spoke and said that Councillor Dunn perhaps feels that this is a waste of officers' time to investigate this report. However, Councillor Dunn is the one who asked for a report, and correct me if I'm wrong, for dog poop bags to be placed in parks. And that was a report that came to council as your request, Councillor Dunn, and that is a cost to council. And, you know, when you compare the two, a child's life or dog poop bags, which report is more important? So I look forward to the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We have before us a motion moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those councillors in favour of the report, the motion, please raise your hand. All those against?
I call for a division, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Carley has asked for a division. All those councillors for? Councillor Carley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Cugliari. All those against? Councillor Dunn, I declare the motion carried. Agenda item number 15, councillors' questions without notice. Councillors, do we have any questions without notice? Councillor Ramsay.
I have a question without notice, Madam Mayor. My question is, the Christmas lights that have gone up on the trees on near Caroline Springs Boulevard and also on High Street are an absolute fantastic addition. I was just wondering if they, being not so Christmassy, they look fantastic, could they be led on every day of the year?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the current intention is that the lights would be on over the Christmas period. They are solar operated, so it's intended to leave them in the trees throughout the year. So it's certainly something that we can look at to determine whether it would be appropriate to have them either on all year or on at key times during the year.
All year, please.
And that is a comment from Councillor Ramsay solely.
The gallery?
There's a thumbs up in the gallery. Councillor Carley.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I just have one question to Mr. Shannon. If I could have an update on what QIC intend to do with the land that they own on the corner of Melton Highway and Bantry Grove.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the site in question, which is next to the Bantry Grove Community Centre, is designated under the planning scheme to be developed for a retail centre, so a shopping centre. We have, over the last 18 months or so, had discussions with QIC, who also own Water Gardens and Woodgrove, about their intention to develop that site. They haven't progressed those discussions since that time, so I'm not exactly clear at the moment what their intentions are for that site. Certainly we would hope that it is developed in the foreseeable future to provide an important service to local residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any other questions? Councillor Dunn.
Yes, I'd just like to know if we can have an update on the suburbs naming thing.
Progress? A progress report?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Dunn. As my understanding is at the moment, we received notification back from the Geographic Place Names Committee. Advising that we weren't allowed to use the outer metropolitan ring road as a defined boundary. The staff have recalculated where the boundary or proposed boundary should be, not taking that into consideration. We've submitted these to the geographic place names for their consideration. We're waiting for their endorsement to come back before we undertake any level of consultation with the affected residents and before going forward thereafter.
Any other questions without notice, councillors? Moving on to agenda number 16, motions without notice. Councillors, do we have any motions without notice? Item number 17, urgent business. We have item number 18, confidential business. I have a procedural motion here, if a councillor would like to stand and move it.
Madam Mayor, Ramsey. That pursuant to section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. Do you want me to read them all out?
Maybe just mentioning that.
18.1, the Municipal Audit Committee meeting minutes, the 2nd of December 2015. 18.2, the appointment of two new members to the Heritage Advisory Committee. 18.3, the Amendment C162 to the Melton Planning Scheme Map, Atkinson and Tarnett Plains Precinct Structure Plan. 18.4, the Property Development Advisory Committee meeting minutes, 22nd of September 2015. 18.5, the awarding of the construction contract 16-026, Black Spot Program, Boundary Road and Sinclair's Road. 18.7, contract number 16-014, Mount Cottrell Road Construction Stage 1. And last one, 18.7, tender evaluation contracts 16-001, 16-002 and 16-003.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I have a procedural motion here moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, please help yourself to refreshments. May I just wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. Please keep safe on the roads if you are travelling, and we will see you in February 2016. God bless everyone. Thank you.